Hello, and welcome to the series on F#. We're going over concepts to help you get started building your own F# applications. In this video, we're going to be taking a look at functions and how you can use them to build reusable code components. We're also going to be taking a look at how you can chain functions together using pipelines and how composition can help you build larger functions out of smaller functions. Any code that you see in this video can be found at aka.ms/F#-101-samples. Let's get started. We'll start off by taking a look at lambda expressions. Lambda expressions, also known as anonymous functions, are defined by the fun keyword. Lambda expressions can have anywhere from no parameters to multiple parameters. In the body, these expressions perform operations and return a value. If we take a look at the bottom two examples here, the return value is the result of evaluating the expressions in the body to add numbers. Later on in our program, we may continue applying transformations to this value. However, there are scenarios, such as printing out to the console, where there's no actual return value. In those cases, the return type is unit. If you're familiar with void from C#, unit can be thought of in a similar way. It acts as a placeholder in the absence of an actual value. Just like return types, unit can also be used as a placeholder for parameters in lambda expressions or functions that don't take any parameters. The unit type is represented by the open-close parentheses. Now that you know about lambda expressions, let's talk about name functions. Name functions are lambda expressions that are bound to a name using the let keyword, followed by the name of the function, parameters, and the body of the function. This is actually shorthand for the code here on the right-hand side. In this case, we have a function called add1, which takes an integer as input and adds 1 to it. If we take a look at the function signature, we see that type inferencing is at work, telling us that the input is an int and the return value is an int. The way to interpret function signatures is anything before the last type are the inputs, and the last type is the return type. Once you've defined your function, it's time to use it. To call a function, you just have to use a name followed by arguments. If we evaluate add1 with the input 3, we see that the result is 4. In the add1 function example, we didn't have to explicitly define the input parameter types or the return type thanks to type inferencing. However, in scenarios where the compiler doesn't have enough information to infer the type, adding type annotations can help. Let's see how. In the case of build URL no annotations, you can see that the function signature has letters A, B, and C, as well as the return type. These letters mean that the compiler doesn't know what type the inputs are. If we run this function, we're free to pass in any arguments, and the code still works. To inform the compiler that the parameters are strings, we add type annotations to each of them. We can also provide type annotations to the return value by adding a colon, followed by the return type after all the parameters. Running this function with anything other than strings results in an error. When you're working with data, like when you're getting information from a web page, there's going to be cases when the data is actually there, but in other cases, the data is either not there or it's invalid. Now, to handle those scenarios, F# offers the option type. Let's see what that looks like. Let's take a look at this getHTML function. It takes in a file name and uses the F# data package to download the HTML contents of a web page. If it's successful, it will return some value. Otherwise, it will return none. Some and none are how the option type is represented. If we were to run this code without the option type, it comes back with an error when the data doesn't exist. If we run it with option as a return type, it still shows an error. But now you can handle scenarios when there's no data more gracefully. If we were to, for example, now run it with data that actually exists, you can see that now it returns with sum as well as the data itself. Chances are, once you apply a transformation to your data, you'll apply more of them as part of a workflow. Using the pipe operator, you can chain functions together to build pipelines. Similarly, you might want to compose larger functions out of smaller functions. In F#, you can do so using the composition operator. Let's take a look at how you can build pipelines and compose functions in F#. Now that I've gotten the HTML from a web page, I might want to get all the links. To do so, I'll create another function called getLinks. This function is going to take a look at the HTML document, and it's going to use pattern matching to get a collection of anchor tags if there is some value. If the HTML document option type is none, it will return an empty sequence. Don't worry too much about understanding what pattern matching is right now, because we'll go over that in another video. Now, if I want to apply both functions, first, I can call getHTML, and then I can call getLinks. Now, this is going to work, but you can see that as the number of operations grows, it becomes harder to read and reason about how the data flows. To chain functions together as successive operations, you can use the pipe operator. With the pipe operator, the values on the left side are inputs to the right side. As a result, you can build long and expressive operation pipelines where it's easy to see that the way that the data flows throughout the pipeline. Now, if I run this pipeline, you can see that the values are exactly the same as those without the pipeline. However, now it's a bit easier to read, and it's a little bit easier to see that the data flows from left to right. In F#, you can build larger functions out of smaller functions. This is known as composition. To compose functions, use the composition operator. In this example, I compose getLinks from HTML, from the getHTML, and the getLinks functions. At that point, I can just make a single call to the getLinks from HTML function, which in effect applies the transformation specified by the individual getHTML and getLinks functions. You can see that the output is essentially the same, and I have all of my links here. Now, if I want to do some further processing, I can use the pipe operator to add on more functions. In this case, I don't want to use the name function, so instead, I use the lambda expression. In this video, we saw how you can use functions to build reusable code components. We also learned how using pipelines and composition can build larger functions out of smaller functions. In the next video, we're going to take a look at how you can group data and represent data using types known as tuples, records, and discriminated unions. See you then.